If you come to our house on any given day, the likelihood that the show The Office is playing is at least 3 out of 4. The office is what we fold laundry to. It's what we do the dishes to. It's what we put on if we're just preparing a long meal. And this is probably more than you want to know, but the theme song is what will calm Elijah down when nothing else will. I know other generations have their own staple shows, right? Like MASH and Gilligan's Island and Cheers, and I'm sure after service I'll be corrected because I picked the wrong ones. I will tell you, as a millennial, ours is definitively The Office. And the thing about the story is that I know it so well that I can see what's coming, like, too well. I know not to watch the episode where Holly moves away unless I'm ready to be really sad. I know I just need to see the first scene of Kevin's chili spilling on the floor if I need to laugh out loud. And I know on hard days, I just want to see Jim and Pam finally get married. Now, all those are spoilers, of course, but you've had plenty of time, so I don't feel bad about that. I am so familiar with this show that as I peer forward in time, I ask myself whether I'm ready to recount that part of the story today. Do I feel like I've got the guts to face the sadness or the heartbreak? Or do I just need to skip to the good stuff or have a giggle? In today's story, we hear an invitation from the gospel to push play, even though we know what's coming. Let us pray. Holy God, we pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our lives to you. Mold us to be people who are shaped by your love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke's story today tells us about the days of drama and celebration as Jesus moves toward Jerusalem. Our kids did such an incredible job waving the palms and helping us to remember the celebration of so many people, people who were hurting, who were hungry, who were hoping for a new day, celebrating Jesus as he got closer and closer to Jerusalem. Throughout the gospel story, Jesus before this has not always been celebrated, right? He had run-ins with the people who were the law. He broke religious practices and upset the people of power. He asked hard questions that, frankly, nobody was interested in really delving into. Jesus had been run out of town by some and lauded by others. His disciples have traveled from fishermen to fancy feasts, not the cat food, and they have seen moments of healing and extraordinary faith. And so, two worlds, the one that everyone had known before, the power, the law, those who kept it all together, and the new world emerging, these two worlds are about to collide. What Jesus is doing is engaging in a ritual that lots of rulers and war heroes would have done before him. It's called a triumphal entry. If you are a sports fan, whatever that hometown is, you probably have seen celebrations like this. As a graduate of Duke, I am sad to tell you that UNC in Chapel Hill has quite a triumphal entry every time they win. They burn things. So do we. A triumphal entry is a practice that lots of us are familiar with, although culturally it changes over time. It typically includes things like the ruler, the leader, the person being celebrated, coming in either on a white horse, a chariot being elevated above the crowds, something being put down at their feet so they don't even have to get dusty, a celebration of people who have poured into the streets, who are excited not only to celebrate this person, but the thing that they represent. When a king comes to town, we don't let his feet get dusty. He doesn't walk by himself. And here, Jesus is showing up in Jerusalem like a king may, but there's a twist. He doesn't have a fancy horse or a well-fed army. He has a borrowed donkey and a choir full of beggars and outcasts and people who have been overlooked celebrating his life. They call him the one they've been waiting for which for obvious reasons seems like a threat to the way things already are. You can feel the drama and the tension. Jesus instructs some of his disciples to fetch him this borrowed donkey, and to their surprise and mine, they actually get it. Did anyone else hear that part of the story and think, you don't just walk up to someone and ask for their donkey and they're like, sure, you can have it. Hey, can I borrow your car? The Lord needs it. Absolutely. Apparently that was enough. And so they bring the donkey back and they're probably feeling pretty good. I bet when Jesus told them what would happen and then it did, they felt kind of like, all right, he was right. We're on the best side of this showdown. Like if this guy can borrow donkeys and tell the future, we are about to have close proximity to a new power. Sure, Jesus, I'll follow you into Jerusalem. Seems like you're a winner. People left and right laid their cloaks on the ground to honor Jesus like the king that they wanted him to be. A cloak was really important in this time. It wasn't just an outer coat of which you had many. A cloak is a thing you would have traveled with and that would have been your protection from a sandstorm, your warmth in the winter, the thing you laid on when you slept, and the thing that covered you when you needed to keep warm. Your cloak was your traveling mattress. To lay your cloak down, especially if you were poor, that was a huge risk. If things don't work out for this guy, you are going to have a very uncomfortable night and another dashed dream. These folks were elated, and they were putting their last bit of faith in this homeless rabbi miracle worker from Nazareth, a neighborhood people didn't want to go to. What kind of courage or desperation must it have taken to lay your last bit of protection down at the feet of a borrowed donkey? What kind of hope must they have carried to sing godly praises to Jesus this close to the ear of the power? This is a privilege the people of Scripture have that we don't. I think about this a lot. They have proximity to Jesus. Maybe his spirit just communicated something different. Maybe his mischievous ways told you this guy wasn't just going along to gain more power. Maybe in your heart of hearts, being that close to Jesus, you could just feel it, right? And while these folks are being faithful and courageous in the streets this day, what they thought they were signing up for and what they got was very different. Crowds showed up in droves and sung loud and gave it all. Groups gathered and celebrated, but what they thought was coming was most certainly different than the Jesus headed to the cross. It was certainly courageous for them to follow him, but I would say they had the luxury of ignorance of what was coming. They sang out, not knowing exactly how costly it would be for him to be the king who comes in the name of the Lord. It is a different kind of courage asked of us, reading this story centuries later. You only have to watch this episode once to know that what's coming is not a typical king's welcome. We get a nod to that from what the Pharisees say in the story. Teacher, tell these folks to quit praising you like you're God. Jesus claps back with, well, if it wasn't them, it would be the rocks. You can't stop this train. This many centuries later, we know this is the beginning of an end. And this is a new beginning. Maybe as you hear this story, it feels like a story of celebration. And if that's where you are, I think that's awesome. It is a story of celebration. Maybe as you hear this, you are excited and you are looking forward to a holy week of remembering the God who meets us in our time and place, the God who walks with us every day. And if that's where you are, awesome. But today I want to especially note the folks for whom they will hear this story and think, Nope. This is too much. I can't do it. I've seen this, and I'm not in the mood for the crying episode. If I'm honest, this is my reaction most years to Holy Week, because in my life, a strange number of tragic and earth-shattering circumstances have taken place in most of my Holy Weeks. It's almost like I can feel it approaching and my neck muscles just start to crunch up in protest. This might be true in your lives too. There may be those of us with the time and space and energy to take on whatever is ahead of us, to see the full story and to be excited about embracing all of it. But I guess that most of us have some level of not today in us. Maybe you too have lived through difficult circumstances, difficult enough stories that you can see the writing on the wall. Maybe we can come to acknowledge that our human nature is sometimes to bolt before things get more difficult. I don't mean situations where we're fighting for our lives or fleeing abuse. We absolutely should do that. I mean those times when honestly it seems like it's just too much. I'm tired. No, thank you. In a world that has felt like lots of bad news, we may start to just tune it out or avoid the ickiness to survive. We've got to do that sometimes. So we could hardly be blamed for the enticing notion of skipping this week to the good part. From celebration today to celebration next week, one Sunday at a time. But y'all, this is the trick. Jesus and our grandmothers know there is no way but through. The most meaningful things in our world cannot be both deeply meaningful and loosely committed to. I want to say that again. The most meaningful things in our world cannot be both deeply meaningful and loosely committed to. The power of Jesus' story on Easter is the power of walking a week like the one that is coming and still coming out the other side. So our question is this. Do we have the guts to follow Jesus through this story, even though we know how difficult the journey can be? Do we have the intestinal fortitude to look into the known and the unknown and follow Jesus anyway? Do we have the gospel roots to remain planted in our values, in our hope, in our Savior, come hell or high water? Can we be the people of courage who follow Jesus through the depths and the heights of all of the Holy Week story so that on Sunday, Easter morning, we know the true depth of Jesus' victory in resurrection? May we be people of courage who deeply hold and deeply commit to the full story and who press play on Holy Week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.